coming round in the W League. But first, we're going to cross live to Norway, where I have young Matilda Hannah Bacon on the line. Good evening, Hannah?
Yeah, good evening. Quite late, actually. Nearly 12, I think. Past 12.
Oh, wow. Midnight. Well, thank you so much for joining me on Football W. And before I get into it, I just want to start with what your pathway's been to Sydney FC, because you did play in the W League, and to like elite football.
Well, I started just in my local team in my area in the Shire. So I played for my local St. Patrick's, which was also my school's name. So I just went there, and then I went to Sullen Sharks, which was my first representative team. So from 12s and 14s, I did that. And then I was lucky enough to get into the Football New South Wales programs. So from age 13, I was in the Institute. And I literally did that until I was too old. And then from there, I was Sydney FC saw me. And then I started training on with them in my last year of Football New South Wales. And then, yeah, I had 3 years. First year was a train-on, second year I was lucky to get signed near the end of the season, and then the third year I was signed from the start.
And what was it like to be a train-on at that time?
The first year it was pretty scary, I'm not going to lie. We had Alan Stajic was actually the coach at the time when I first started training on, and I'd never really had a coach that pushed you so much and really challenged you every session. It was pretty tough the first year, but then the second year was much easier. The girls were so much more welcoming because they realised you're hopefully staying around for a little bit. So, yeah, it definitely got easier. And then I loved it. It was really enjoyable. The older girls were constantly giving you advice. Lena Karmas, every session, would tell you to do something differently and it would help your game. And, yeah, it was really good training with all the there were ex-Matildas and current Matildas, so it was really cool.
Now, speaking of the Matildas, have you been able to watch some of the two-match international series over there in Norway?
Yeah, we bought one of this a website where we could watch some of the games, but we were having trouble. But I saw all the highlights and all the goals, and, yeah, they'd be great. They've been killing it.
And, like, with your aspirations moving forward, you know, you're already a young Matilda now, and we'll come into that a little bit later about your AFC championship that recently played out. But what are your aspirations right now moving forward?
Well, right now I want to be playing over here in Europe every game. This season it was a bit of a struggle. I played a bit but not enough, and obviously the Matildas is a long-term goal, of course. But, yeah, just more game time and in a senior team and developing and getting better.
Now,
that's the main goal right now.
As you mentioned, you are over in Norway at the moment, and you're playing football over there. Tell me a little bit about the team that you're playing for.
Yeah, no, the team is actually in the area. So it's my field. It's called Trondheims Ørn. We're living in the city of Trondheim. And they're in the top league. We kind of finished middle to the bottom of the table. But, yeah, it's really different dynamics to the W League. I think it's a bit more relaxed and less serious in my team, but still very competitive and very physical. But it's very different. The weather, everything, the way they play, it's completely different to Australian football.
I mean, it must be hard because, you know, it gets quite dark early, and surely the training schedules would be kind of warped.
Yeah, it was really weird. We moved here in January, which is like prime time winter, and the sun doesn't rise until 10 a.m. and it goes down at 3 p.m. So I'd go to morning training and I'd come home and it was still dark, and then I'd go to sleep for an hour and wake up and it was still dark, and it was -5. It's -7 here tonight, and our women's team, we train outside every session except for our morning session. So that was crazy. Like, that took a long time to get used to, but it was good. It was honestly made you play a lot faster, because in Australia it's so hot, you can't run around a million miles an hour. So the game was a lot faster here, and the fitness was completely different, which was also exciting to push yourself further than you have in Australia, because it's just too hot.
And -5, that's like snow weather.
Yeah, it snowed last week, but it hasn't snowed in a few days, but I think it's due to snow next week.
Oh, wow. So how is
That's
it playing,
pretty cool.
playing in the snow?
It's challenging. We play mainly on synthetic fields because the grass fields just die in winter, like it's too cold, and the synthetic fields have heating underneath, so the field never is really affected. But when it's falling, sometimes you can't see like 3 meters in front of you, but you don't play really much when it's that snowing.
And your position, you're a midfielder?
Yeah, more defensive midfielder.
So how have you like taken on a role in your new team over there? What do they kind of expect from you, and what's your role within the team?
Well, as defensive midfielder, it's quite hard to break in as a defensive midfielder. So I was kind of a shadow of the defensive midfielder in the team, and like so during training should do one bit and then I'd do the next, and they have a very attacking based game, so every time you get the ball you're not turning back and keeping it, you're going for goal, and it's very direct and physical. You're expected to win every ball and not stop running, and yeah, like it's the kind of the powerhouse, but it's a lot of thinking.
And Hannah, what have been some challenges for you moving to Norway?
I think just homesickness. Just missing friends and family, and it's not playing with Aussie girls. Like when I came home, it was so nice to be with the Aussie girls, and you're just very similar. And here, like there's obviously the language barrier, so I could go to a change room and sit there for half an hour before training and not know a word what they're saying until they start speaking English, which was sometimes it got challenging. And when I stopped playing, I got a bit frustrated and very homesick, and that was probably the hardest thing, just missing home and how easy and comfortable you are there in soccer. Like, you know your place, you can talk to your coach quite easily. My coach here, his English isn't great at all, so it is a bit of a challenge to get the idea and messages across to each other.
Have you been learning some Norwegian?
Yeah, I've been pretty slack, but everyone here knows a good base of English, so you're not really forced to speak Norwegian. But my boyfriend Alex, he can speak nearly fluent, which is very annoying, but no, I've been quite lazy. I know a little bit, but not a lot.
Nearly fluent, really?
Yeah, it's annoying.
That's crazy.
He's pretty good.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you're mentioning Alex, and for those listening, Hannah's boyfriend is Socceroo Alex Gersbach, who is a full-time professional footballer, and he's playing for Rosenborg over there. Hannah, tell me a little bit about how that is.
It's pretty cool. Like, it's in Australia, you've got so many sports. So I know, like, A-League players can walk down the street quite easily without anyone recognising them, but in a small town of Trondheim, there's only 400,000. Like, you walk down the street and they know it's a Rosenborg player, and every little kid wants to be a Rosenborg player, and they're very fanatical. So it's pretty cool to be a part of a European team, like, and see it firsthand.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, but that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Alex must be loving all the attention.
Yeah, of course.
He's probably a little bit jealous that you're doing this interview right now. He's not in the spotlight.
Yeah. I made him leave the room.
Oh, that's good, Hannah. Now, his club has won like a record 25 league titles or something, and this season they also took out
the
title.
Yeah, they dominate the Norwegian league quite a lot. Like, they won the league before the season finished, and they won by quite a lot. So, yeah, they do it quite comfortably.
How's it been to watch him play in a team that's doing so well?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Obviously, you want your partner to be doing well and being in the winning team at the games, which is good. But it's more just I don't care if they win or lose, to be honest. I just love watching him play. It's enjoyable.
And now I'm sure people will assume that he would be giving you advice, but do you ever give him advice on his game?
Yeah, I'll give it to him. I don't think he's done well. I'm very honest off the games. I don't sugarcoat it at all.
How does he take that?
Yeah, I don't know. He takes it okay. I think he knows most of the time anyway.
And I see you do quite a bit of cooking for him as well.
Yeah. It was pretty funny when I had to go away for 5 weeks for China. I had to write him a recipe cookbook because he's absolutely useless. But I've come home and he's a great chef now, and he's making dinner, which is quite impressive.
Wow! Oh, that's good. You can take a bit of a back seat now. Let him do all the work.
Yeah, but before that, it was like we're here for 7 months, and he probably cooked twice. So he's come a long way.
Wow. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. Do you think that there's like an emergence in Norway? Like, we're seeing countries like Iceland do so well.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Out of all the Scandinavian teams, the men team have qualified for the World Cup, and Norway is the only one who didn't, which was a bit weird. But I don't know. The standard is good here, but I wouldn't say it's anything close to the other European teams and the other Scandinavian teams. I'm not really sure why. I don't know if it's because they've got other sports, but I don't really think it's up there with the other countries at all, to be honest.
Okay. It's interesting to to know, as I said, because Iceland are doing so well, and you'd think that the you know, Scandinavian countries, maybe there's something in the water over there.
Yeah, I don't know. But even Sweden qualified for the World Cup just recently, which was massive, and Denmark. But no, Norway was the only one who didn't.
And just touching on the Young Matildas, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you are a Young Matilda, and you have just come back from the AFC Under-19 Championship. You beat South Korea and a few other countries. Tell me about how that experience was, and how close you came to qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah, it was overall, it was a great experience. It was, we had a great team. Everyone got along very well. We had great coaches, great staff. Everything was perfect, and we came so close. And in the end, it was just really disappointing. It just seemed like a lot of hard work gone to waste. But we did our, to be honest, we didn't do our best. We could have done a lot better. And it is just a massive shame. It could have been amazing to be in a World Cup in France. It would have been unbelievable. But I don't know. Hopefully, I know they're talking about doing a lot more for the next under 20. So hopefully they qualify. But I think that's an area in women's football that definitely needs improvement, because you see how well the Matildas are going, but yet there's not much coming through the ranks in the last 3 years breaking into the Matildas. So I'm not sure. We'll see what happens.
Let me tell you, Hannah, you did very well over there. The team collectively broke a few records, and, you know, we haven't seen Young Matildas team come as close as your team did to qualifying for an under 20 women's World Cup. And especially in Asia, we know that Asia is the sleeping giant. They're, you know, so competitive right now.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, how can we help you as a country? What do we need to do to give you more support as players at this age group?
I'm not really sure. Like, obviously we get so much support, our parents from, we're so young, drive us to train. They do everything for us. The facilities are there. But I don't know. I think it's just we have it a bit too easy. I'm not sure. Like, you look at these other countries like North Korea, and it's life or death. They're playing for their country and for their family. And I think, I don't know if we have it too easy and we're too comfortable. And if, oh, we lose, oh, well, we come home. I'm not sure. But maybe more development programs when we're younger, more, like, drilling in that winning is important, and, yeah, it's not all serious, but we need to win at the end of the day. I'm not sure. But it definitely is improving, and we definitely did well.
What about international exposure? Do you think you need more tournaments, international tournaments?
Yeah, well, we did have a few international tournaments, our team. Like, we went to Myanmar for a tournament, and then we also had the qualifiers. I'm not sure if, and then they also played games against Canada and America, which was great.
Yeah, that was,
like, there
that
was still
huge
a lot
to
of
have
work
that.
Put in, yeah. But they did put a lot more work into us than they had in any team before, yeah. And then we had gone further than any team had before. So,
that's it.
So it's a long process, and we'll get there.
And Gary did a fantastic job. And on that note, what was it like to have him as a coach?
Yeah, it was great, to be honest. Like, there was nothing better than coming home and having an Aussie coach you can relate to. And even off the field, he's a great person. You can talk for him for hours. Like, it just, he's a genuine person who cares, who really cares about women's football and where it can go. And he's great at coaching women. He knows how to approach them. He has daughters. And, yeah, I think he's an overall great coach. And I really enjoyed playing underneath him.
And have you been keeping up to date with some of the W League?
Yeah, I have a little bit. Like, I see it all. And Sydney FC started off a bit disappointing, but then they turned around and won against City, which was great. And Teresa scored her first goal, which was awesome. But not overly watching it too much, but I have seen the results and it looks good.
Do you think that when you came into the Young Matildas camp that your game had improved having played over in Norway and having that international exposure?
Yeah, I think it had improved so much. One, like, physical-wise, fitness, like, my aggressiveness, everything really improved. But then when I was away, I actually picked up a few injuries, which was really frustrating because I didn't really get to show how far I had come, but it was okay. Like, I still was happy with my game, but, no, I think I've definitely improved a lot from being here.
And Hannah, just before I let you go, how excited were you to see Alex qualify for the World Cup in Russia?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was very exciting. Like, I went crazy. We just got to make the squad now, and hopefully we'll both be going. I want to go watch. What an experience it would be.
Yeah, it would be absolutely huge. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining me on Football W, and give our best regards to Alex. And I look forward to getting you back on the show very soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Hannah Bacon there joining us all the way from Norway. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll go straight to the Matildas.